mine and yours. And you don't want to press your weapon to back up and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 67. I can't believe you did that. Zuko glanced down at the disbelieving airbender in his wheelchair, then lifted his gaze to Chang Chang and the rest of the Air Temple elders gathered in the windy courtyard. They were silent, apparently willing to let Tao do the talking, or in this case, the yelling. So he can say what they're all thinking, and then they can deny everything and act polite later. Please. Azula did this better when she was 7. Behind him, Zuko caught a glimpse of Lieutenant Teruko subtly shifting her stance, from simple parade rest to something that just hinted of looming. Great, this is going downhill fast. I should have sent Uncle. But Uncle Iroh had thrown himself into getting their domain set for Fong's arrival, and the Dragon of the West had far more experience than anyone organizing defenses against Earthbenders. Not to mention the troubling fact that he didn't seem to want Master Amaya too far out of sight. It was weird. Then again, if Fong somehow did manage to get a hold of her and her engagement necklace, well, it wouldn't be good. I should have brought Long Shui and Sao Luan. From the perspective of Dragon's Wings, yes, he should have. But the Yalren were supposed to be mediators between humans and spirits, guardians against spiritual malevolence. Dragging them into an argument between Dragon's Wings and the Northern Temple? No. Bad idea. The Great Spirits wanted airbending back in the world. Zuko had a sick feeling that threatening to interfere with that would land his little domain in even hotter water. So what about Fong's doing, oh supposedly wise spirits? Why does he get a pass? Then again, given some of those same spirits had apparently turned themselves into fish, Zuko suspected spiritual wisdom wasn't all it was cracked up to be. Seriously, koi fish? What do you think you'd do? Barbel a bad guy to death? We were helping you. We were spying on them for you, and you just killed them. Tao cut himself off. You're not even listening to me. Lieutenant, Zuko said neutrally, did he say anything he didn't say the first 10 times? Teruko's face was suspiciously blank. No, sir. Right. And Zuko was not going to think about the very long drop past the courtyard edge, and how easy it would be for an angry airbender to blast him over it. Tao, I'm trying to understand what the problem is. I really am. But the last time I checked, your people here needed help to trade with someone for grain, among other things. You can trade with us or with your relatives in the Valley Farms. Either way, you still need our help to make sure food gets up here. And if Fong gets to Dragon's Wings... After you killed his people, Tao cut across his words, you didn't even warn them. You just crushed them in the mud. He's coming to kill us. Huh. Maybe watching Teruko's example of command voice was paying off. Tao looked like he'd been slapped with an octopus. I've sent him messages, Zuko went on, eyes narrowed. I've asked him to stop. I've asked him to negotiate. We dumped scorpion bees in his camp. Tell me that's not a big enough clue that we don't want him here. And he isn't stopping. Quick breath. Don't let him regroup. A general brings his army into foreign territory full of civilians for only one reason. Let me clue you in. It's not to have a picnic. Zuko gestured toward the clouds below, thick enough to block any view of the sea. My people are down there. They can't fly away. There's nowhere for us to go. And if Fong gets earthbenders into range of our terraces, we are going to starve. Not as fast as the Air Temple. Seaweed and fish could go a long way, but it wasn't the best diet to keep fighting strength on. And that really would get them killed. Teo was shaking his head. Earthbenders don't tear up farms. To kill the Fire Nation? Believe me, they do. Zuko bit out. You know how much room you need for a takeoff? Would you just think about the possibility that maybe, just maybe, we know how much room we need to stop an army? Don't say stop. Teo gripped a wheel, not backing down. Don't you dare say stop. You're going to kill them. If I have to, Zuko stated, voice flat. Yes, I will kill them if they keep coming. But they don't have to keep coming. All they have to do is turn around and leave. Keep calm. Maybe he missed the obvious. Anybody in Fong's army who can read knows they've got no right to be here. He looked at the crowd of so-called adults watching them. You didn't have a problem with warning people when you threw War Minister Qin off the mountain. That was different, Teo protested. Got you. Why? Zuko pounced. Because if the answer was, because they're Fire Nation, or even, because this is our land, the Avatar was with us. For a long moment, all Zuko could hear was the mountain wind. I give up. He nodded at the lieutenant. Let's go. Sir? Teruko asked, startled. You can't argue with someone who just believes, Zuko said flatly. We're wasting time. Let's go. Chongchong finally moved, hands on her hips. Now, young man, don't be hasty. Fong aside, those are good Earth Kingdom men. You can't expect us to... Yes, I can! Zuko let a steaming breath escape, fixing them all with his glare. That's how you decide when it's right to fight for your lives. When the Avatar says so. What is wrong with you? Where's your honor? Where are your guts? Where is our deal? We can't kill innocent people, Teo shot back. That would betray everything my father wanted. He shook his head, not backing down. And we can't help you kill them. Zuko didn't twitch. We're going to remember that. Teo flinched. First you say we're friends, now you're threatening neighbors, Zuko clipped out. I said we were neighbors. That has nothing to do with being friends. And it's no threat. It's a promise. We have long memories, Teo. Longer than you've ever imagined. We're your neighbors, and we helped you when you needed it. Now we're asking for your help, and you're not just saying no. You're saying we're evil just for asking. We did not. They're coming to kill my people, and you call them innocent, Zuko said dryly. What is killing innocents of people supposed to be? An accident? He shrugged. Give my regards to your relatives. You're going to want to remember the looks on their faces when they realized you're abandoning them. That drew an angry murmur from the crowd, and more than a few clenched fists. Good. Maybe there's fighting in them after all. That's what you're doing, Zuko went on. We've taken some of the pressure out of Asagi Tatsu, but if we can't keep it up, and we will have a very hard time doing that if we're dead, then she'll still erupt. It might take a decade, it might take 10, but she will go up. He swept a hand across, dismissing them all with a flick of his wrist. But maybe you don't care what happens a few years from now. Not when fixing it would mean fighting without the Avatar's permission. Teo winced at that, but he rolled forward, eyes grave. You're right. We don't know what will happen in a few years. All we know is what we're going to do about what's happening here, now. Whatever General Fong decides to do, these are good people. Our people. How can we fight them when they're trying to do what's right? He looked at Chongchong. Asagi Tatsu scares me. She scares anybody who thinks about it. He glared at Zuko. But Aang's beaten volcanoes before. Utterly wrong kind of volcano, Zuko managed. Agni, if this is a nightmare, I'd like to wake up now. No such luck. Figured. Avatar Roku died fighting a volcano, Zuko stated, sweeping the crowd with his gaze. And he was a fully trained avatar who could bend lava. Facts. Arguing won't work. Give them facts. And let them choke on it. The Face Stealer's plan was to have this volcano kill Aang. We've bought some time. It won't last forever. He looked Teo in the eye. If the harbor fires go out, we've lost. Don't land. The drowned will be there. Teo swallowed. He might not believe in walking corpses, but all the gliders had to admit they'd seen something. Avatar Aang created the drowned. Taruko bit out. I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for him to get rid of them. Lieutenant, Zuko warned. Civil. We are going to be civil, especially if we want to burn the place down. She's right, though. It's the Face Stealer's power that makes the drowned walk. But if Aang in the ocean hadn't drowned an entire fleet with a spirit's wave, not waterbending, the moon was out, the Face Stealer wouldn't have gotten to trap their spirits in the first place. He let his voice drop. If I were you, Teo, I'd get all the supplies up here I could, because if we lose, he shrugged, the drowned are already dead. What are you going to do? Kill them again? Only then did he turn and head for the elevator, ignoring the angry voices raised behind them. Let them yell and demand and cry for things to be fair. I've had enough. You mean they're not going to help at all? Jean Hai held three smoking leaves, all of which threatened to flare in his hands. That's not right. Going over her new knives for any hint of rust, Suyin listened intently from her corner of the family garden. Lim and Dayu were wonderful little girls, but honestly, they were driving her nuts. At least if she was watching Jean Hai, she could get a little peace and quiet. It's not that simple. Zuko held his own trio of charred leaves, wisps of smoke curling into the wind. General Fong's soldiers are Earth Kingdom. The Mechanist's people don't want to hurt men who might be family. Men who haven't done anything to them yet. They feel, well, like you'd feel if someone told your family the city guard was going to try and hurt you. Jean Hai's leaves flickered. One went out. No one here would do that, Zuko said firmly. But Fong's people aren't from here. I don't think Teo understands how much of a difference that makes. This is not a friendly visit. It's not a misguided march. Even if Dragon's Wings wasn't here, Fong still would be, and he'd still besiege the temple. He'd just be a little more polite about it. The temple? Suyin exclaimed, startled out of her intention to stay quiet. He's coming after us! Because we're here. Look. Zuko smoothed the top of the sand bucket standing by for emergencies and sketched a swift triangle, sloping down on the left to the Bay of Dragon's Wings. The farms are over here. Zuko tapped the right base of the peak. The temple's up here, a tap near the top. And this is us, the bay. Fong's coming across here. He dragged a finger in the sand, bisecting the triangle 2/3 down. We bounced him off the route he wanted to take. The finger went back on the line, dragging another trail down and across. But that only worked as well as it did because he really wanted to go that way to start with. We just gave him an excuse. Suyin blinked, trying to sort that out. From her brother's frown, Jean Hai was completely lost. Are you saying he wanted to take an army of earthbenders through farm fields? That's... She shook her head, unable to find words to describe how horribly wrong that was. Her father did archaeology in fields, sure, but only if the crop was already in, and only after bending a test plot to check what kind of soil he was dealing with. Plant roots were alive, too. They needed air. Squishing soil together suffocated them. Tingcha Wen drummed it into every student. If you can't put it back the way it was, don't bend it. Zuko was studying them both thoughtfully. Douse them, he told Jean Hai. We'll start again. I think you need to understand what Fong's doing first.
Coming to hurt us?
Jean Hai shivered a little and looked up at the mountain.
And they're not helping. That's mean.
It looks mean, but it might be better if they don't help us. Not yet, Zuko said frankly. General Fong is going to try to come after us. We're going to stop him. But that's what he wants to do. The thing is, well, if your mother tells you after supper you can play hide and slide, but you have to brush your teeth, which one do you want to do first? Jean Hai cocked his head like that was the dumbest question ever.
You have to brush your teeth first.
Your mother can be scary, Zuko agreed. Right, so this is kind of hard and messy. General Fong can't just do what he wants to either. He's got responsibilities to the Earth Kingdom. And the most important one right now is he has to make sure the Mechanist never works for the Fire Nation again. Zuko frowned. So he's coming after us because he thinks we're the Fire Nation, and we're controlling the Air Temple. That we'll give the Mechanist's devices to the Earth Kingdom's enemies. We're not, and we won't, but he doesn't believe that.
That's stupid, Jean Hai declared. Teo's dad isn't making weapons for anybody, ever. Teo says that all the time.
And that's why the Mechanist's people are really in trouble. Zuko grimaced. The first thing Fong has to do is make sure the Fire Nation doesn't get more weapons. The second thing he has to do is make sure the Earth Kingdom does.
Suyin felt chill, as if a shadow were already passing over the face of the sun.
Teo won't do that, she got out. The temple won't. No, Zuko agreed, very quiet. Not if they have a choice. That's why Fong is going to attack us, he winced. And that's why he's going to take over the farms.
The farms? Jean Hai echoed, confused. The farmers didn't do anything.
No, they didn't, Zuko agreed. But Fong wants to control what the temple does. If they can't trade for food, they're in trouble. He sighed. You say that them not helping us isn't fair, and it's not. And that does make me mad at them. But more than that, I'm sad. I told them Fong's not their friend, and they don't believe me. They're going to find out, and when they do, and know that someone they think is going to save them just wants to use them all over again. He shook his head. That's worse than anything I could do to them.
Jean Hai hugged his knees to his chest. Are they going to get hurt?
Some of them, probably, Zuko admitted. We are going to try to do something to stop that. It's going to be dangerous. He growled under his breath. Which is why I'm stuck here, not expendable, frosted.
There's something we can do, Suyin pounced. What?
Zuko gauged the angle of the sun and smirked. We start by letting him think he knows more than we do.
But how do we do?
Suyin's gaze flicked to the bright summer sun. She sucked in a breath.
It's today. The eclipse is today.
For the Fire Nation, Zuko agreed. For Omashu. Maybe even for places south of Fong's home fort. But not here. His smirk deepened. But Fong doesn't know that, especially since Sergeant Kyo's squad volunteered to. Huh, we'll have to see how that works. Not sure I want to know, Suyin decided. The last time her distant cousin had smirked like that, she'd heard horror stories of scorpion bees and suffocating mud. If it's the eclipse, she swallowed. Do you think Teo's dad will be okay? Do you think the Avatar will win? I hope so. Zuko looked away, hair falling over his scar. I want the war to be over. I tried to get them some help. I hope Sokka's as smart as he thinks he is. He glanced at the sky again. But one way or another, we won't know until it's too late. Everything is going wrong today. Sokka sidestepped the spearhead, using the momentum to bring his sword down through the shaft. The Fire Nation guard was well-trained. He barely wavered as losing the weight of his spear threw him off stance. Barely, but it was enough for Sokka to grab armor and shove, hurling the man into what was left of his own spear. Our fight is not with the Caldera. We challenge your lord to a meeting with Agni. Which wasn't exactly what Aang was planning, and if Dad or Bato asked what the heck he was yelling in the middle of battle, things might get complicated. But damn it, these weren't Fire Nation soldiers. Not like the bastards who'd killed Mom or attacked the Earth Kingdom or tried to wipe out the Northern Water Tribe. These were the Home Guard. And yes, they were the enemy, but they were also doing exactly what he'd done when Zuko crashed into his village. Fighting back with everything they had, because everything they loved was about to go up in flames. He had to fight them. Sometimes he had to kill them. But if even one of them listened and backed off, maybe today wouldn't hurt so much. We have to buy Aang more time. They didn't have enough blasting jelly to blow the gates. And too many Tamul visions of burning oil poured into tight spaces meant he really didn't want Toph tunneling here. So even with Katara shooting ice daggers down from Appa, they were pretty much stuck fighting on the beach and in the harbor. Which wasn't as bad a situation as he'd first thought. Sure, if they'd meant to invade the Caldera, being bottled up like this would be nasty. But as a distraction, this worked. And it kept them close to the last three remaining subs. Meaning, if things went even more wrong, G and the others could get out fast. Hopefully. And it was just about time. He could hear yelling about putting on your eclipse glasses. Which he would have, really, but he wasn't dumb enough to stare up at the sun, and the last spearmen had had lady buddies who might be firebenders. But looked angry enough to go after him barehanded, whether or not they had flames, so he was a little busy right now. Aang, get Ozai. Stop him. But please be okay. Palaces weren't supposed to be empty. Not that Aang had been in one, besides Earth King Kuei's. Bumi's place was big, but it wasn't exactly a palace. Toph's parents' place had felt fancier, even if Bumi's was a lot bigger. Fire Lord Ozai's palace was big, and fancy, and empty. Tapestries of the past Fire Lords fluttering in the breeze from his flight. It was weird. Fire Lord Ozai! Aang thumped his new air staff on the floor in front of the empty throne. Where are you? Nothing but echoes. They know you're coming, Shidan had said. They know about the eclipse. And okay, that had been scary. But knowing couldn't change what was going to happen. There was going to be an eclipse. There were going to be 8 minutes with no firebending. And that meant he and Ozai were going to fight, and the Fire Lord was going to lose. Nothing Ozai could do would let him win. Except not being there to fight in the first place. Which was not fair. Just not. Fire was supposed to attack all the time. Ozai not even being here. That was how air was supposed to fight. Fire couldn't be air. This was just all wrong.
In the shadows behind the throne, something hissed. Aang felt his shaved head prickle in goosebumps. That almost sounded like something laughing. Blue shadows uncoiled, arching high. Translucent blue spread and boomed against air, like sails catching the wind. Indigo flexed, extending ivory daggers that gripped polished wood, leaving deep dents. Summer blue scales dipped, azure whiskers reaching out to touch as lambent gold eyes stared deep into his own. "Hello, dinner."